Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why? Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love in Aramaic Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael or myself or the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mindshifters Radio. Hi, and welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, December the 13th, 2018. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. Welcome, everybody. Delight once again as we draw close to the end of the year to be engaged in this conversation about these amazing tools, and especially the core tool of forgiveness, the tool that offers everything that I want. If I'm in a state where I don't want what's happening, if I'm willing to but forgive, I can remove whatever it is that I'm engaging in that keeps me out of the truth of who I am. And the truth, well, just hold a newborn child, and you've got a direct experience of exactly what a human is, what human life is designed to experience. And that experience is the presence of pure being, the presence of love, the presence of ecstasy. So, what does forgiveness have to do with all of that? If I'm in something based in some sort of trauma, what benefit can forgiveness give? Well, the bottom line is that if I'm holding something that is less than love, it is the act of forgiveness that removes that energy from my field. And as I choose to address that energy and expose it to the active presence of love, I'm freed from the goal that produces what I would choose to rid myself of and the truth of who I am. Our Course in Miracles lesson today is 347. Anger must come from judgment. When I judge, I join with an energy that is off the mark. You know, in the past, we've talked about this idea of sin. And that sin is a word that is, in Aramaic, an archery term. And that archery term simply reflects the fact, the straightforward fact, that the energy one is engaging in is off the mark. That is different than human life. And so if I'm engaged in an energy that's off the mark, and the energy that's moving in me, I join with, then I'm stuck in this state of judgment. And what judgment does is it brings pain. And what we need to do to free ourselves of that pain is allow access to the part of the mind that's stuck in judgment. Otherwise, the mind will tend to generate some form of hostility as a drug to anesthetize against the presence of pain. And so judgment tends to produce this state of anger. And when I'm willing to let go of it, then I can step into another state. The Course goes on to say in this lesson 347, judgment is the weapon I would use against myself keep the miracle away from me. And you remember that our definition of a miracle is a change in perception. So if I'm aiming for a change in perception, judgment is a way to, by joining with, by allowing my awareness to join with that energy that's off the mark, I'm stuck in that state where a shift in perception becomes difficult at best or impossible at worst. So the lesson goes on with the acknowledgement, speaks to the creator and says, I'm wanting what goes against my will. If anger is there, if frustration is there, if upset is there in any form, it's because there's some part of my aberrant mind that wants something that is against the truth in me, that goes against the will that is singular, and that singular will is always about moving toward the direction of love or standing in that space of love. And so the acknowledgement of the true will is that my true will wants me to have, is moving me in the direction of that state of love. And so here is the acknowledgement, I need help. Well, so I'm asking for that help. Straighten my mind. My father, it is sick. So if I'm in anger, if I'm in judgment, my mind is off base and it's going to produce illness, literally. And thus it goes on to offer that the Creator offers a state of freedom. And the choice to make at this point is to accept the gift. So I'm going to claim that gift. And so I give all judgment to the One. So I'm going to turn it over and ask the mind that was spoken of in the ancient scriptures as the mind that was in Christ. I'm going to ask that mind to show me what this really means. And so that One is always there, if I'm willing to ask, to show me a judgment that will be, that will make right. You should talk about righteous judgment, and righteous has become this word about, yeah, I mean, well, I'm righteous, I'm right here, but really it's right use. It's what's the right use of this energy? Can I acknowledge there's an energy that needs healing and stand as a space of love? And so while that mind that they spoke of that was in Christ, and there's nothing religious about that word, the word Christ in Aramaic simply meaning a mind that is directly linked to the active presence of love, that mind beholds what I see and yet knows the truth about it. That mind looks on pain, understands it is not real, and in that understanding, it is healed. So am I willing to breathe into that? A state where one can look on pain and understand that it is not real. And in that understanding, breathe into healing. So this mind is available to us, and the lesson goes forward to acknowledge that that's the mind that gives the miracles that my dreams would hide from my awareness. Dreams being those things that arise from carbon-based memory. So I choose to let him judge today. I choose to let the mind of Christ judge, because at this point, I don't know my own will. I'm stuck. But he is sure that it is your own. So that alter ego, or that alter non-ego, we should say, that state of being, always knows the truth and will speak for me and call miracles to come to me. So just breathe into that. Allow the miracle to be called forward. What is the miracle? The shift in perception. The shift from hostility or fear. Listen today. Be very still. And hear the gentle voice for love, assuring you that he has judged you as the son that is love. So you can know that whatever the hostility or fear happens to be, there's a space where the Creator's mind holds you in a different energy, holds you in and as the truth of who you are. And when that energy becomes strong enough in each and every one of us, that's the energy that breaks through, cracks the energetic patterns of hostility, fear, and judgment, and frees us. So letting go of everything that I would use against myself and allow that shift in perception to occur, that shift that takes us back toward the active presence of love. So I just invite everybody to breathe into that, be with those thoughts. What does that move in you? Does it inspire you to question? Inspires me to. And in the question, the very energy of the correct question means the answer must come. And so I allow myself to get quiet and breathe and just to be. Sweet. Well, Jeannie, we've got about 48 minutes left. Let's say hello to Dr. Tim. See what
he
has to share
with us
today.
Welcome, Dr. Tim.
I am here.
Hey there, young man. How are you?
Awesome. I'm well, and you?
Rocking, doing well. Just finished a game of dominoes with my son and Jeannie and Dad. So just have had a leisurely morning and ready for the next level.
All right. Have you had any feedback from anybody other than me about the ending dialogue in the show yesterday?
No, haven't heard from anyone.
Okay.
Nary a word.
Well, hopefully everybody's doing their own processing about that little exchange and taking full responsibility for their whatever emotions got stirred up. The quick summary is the question was asked, what are our thoughts about the possibility that Marianne Williamson might run for president? And Michael's response to that triggered quite a bit of emotional response in people. And my response was that Michael's response indicates he's got some worksheets to do. And Michael's response was, no, he's very clear. He doesn't have worksheets to do. He's just holding everyone in love. So the interesting, for those who can observe it, the interesting dynamic is always there to be observed. I'm the one creating. Everything I interpret about the outside events, and that is what generates my emotional response. Each and every time, no exceptions. And somebody said, yeah, you know, I got triggered and it doesn't feel safe. And somebody else said, yeah, my thoughts went to imagining this person, not about her being safe, but how she might be discredited or ridiculed as being crazy. And, you know, some people, everybody's going to see this through their own filter. And I just have to come back to the core of this work and invite everybody who's got any kind of a thought pattern that leads to an upset to take a breath and use the tools and step back into questioning, how am I creating my upset in this moment? So it's the process, the reality management wake-up sheet worksheet process that's been transforming my life for the better by leaps and bounds for the past 13 to 16 years, however you want to track that time frame. So that's my offering for today.
Yay. Well, let's see if anybody has any thoughts or comments or questions or anything to share on that topic. Let's open the lines and see. Jeannie, anything happening in the chat room? Anybody in the phone queue with a hand up? Let's say hello.
860, you are on the air.
Hi, my name is Lorraine, and I'm sorry I don't have a comment. I wish I did, but I wasn't present for the entire conversation, and I really would rather bring that into...
Well, that's okay. We're glad you're here. What's on your mind?
Okay. Well, I'm here because... And a first-time caller. And I'm here because I am in such deep gratitude for you and for Dr. Tim and for my amazing teacher, Susan Darnell, who have been able to help me to transform my life. And those people I know, there are many of us, many, 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 and we can listen to the radio and many days of our lives when we can and be so moved, and we can learn. And that transformation continues, and yet don't necessarily give a call and to thank you and acknowledge you for what you've been able to bring into this world. And so I just know that I have to be speaking for many who know the truth of what you teach that has been experienced by you as being the truth, and as you model the great teachers that have come here, given their lives, to teach that message. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you for saying thank you so many times.
That's how deep
it goes. And of course, the most powerful way, the most powerful way, and it's certainly appreciated when somebody acknowledges it. The most powerful way to say thank you is, of course, to share it with someone else, to pass it on. You know, when each one teaches one, it doesn't take long before we reach the world. And so, glad you're on the team.
Yeah, I am so glad as well. And I would like to go on and share something if there's time, but I would like you to be able to interrupt me.
Please, you've got the floor. Go for it.
Okay. And please feel free to interrupt if I just get too lengthy. But I am... I am so impressed with the fine handiwork of the divine and the way the divine helps us to use each other to be able to step forward more and more into our own truth. And so this was an example that happened for me this morning when a fellow student of mine texted me at 5:30 in the morning and said, you know, I'd appreciate it if you could just hold me in the space of love regarding a challenge that she had. And this person is such love herself. That is her essence. That just that reminder of who she is, helped me to remind myself of who I am. And it gave me the courage to approach my husband about a very difficult subject, one that I knew would really hurt him deeply. And so,
can I interrupt you there?
Sure.
So notice that your belief is that something you could do could hurt your husband deeply. And I'd offer that that's not even possible. But if you buy that thought, then of course at some point when you're in hurt, you might think he or someone else has hurt you deeply. When I can shift my language more toward truth and know, well, maybe my husband carries some hurt, and when I speak this, it's going to resonate his hurt or bring his hurt to the surface. Then in the future, when someone resonates or brings my hurt to the surface, instead of holding this belief that they hurt me, I can step into, oh, yes, this resonates my hurt, and now my hurt becomes resolvable. But if I think that the cause of the hurt is outside of me, then my hurt is, without forgiveness, totally unresolvable. So I just invite you to shift your thinking into, yeah, okay, you know, maybe I carry some pain, maybe he carries some pain, and maybe there's some trepidation in me about bringing this up because I know this is going to resonate his hurt. But and that's pretty powerful that you had someone who was able to give you such a deep reminder that you gathered the courage to go for it anyway. It's cool.
Yeah, thank you for that reminder. This is true because I was really struggling a lot about imagining my role, and yet we also know that we have each other and we walk with each other for the purpose of being able to help each other. And
sweet.
Sometimes that does mean that we will walk together in a lot of pain, but if it's in the course of finding truth, then it'll be worth it. And so both, you know, what you're saying to me reminds me of that truth as well, and the truth that I just spoke of. And so I had that difficult conversation, and yes, there were so many tears on both sides, but it was the first time, 44 years of marriage.
Wow.
That we were able to touch on something that we have never been able to touch in a deep pain for both of us, and yet in a loving way, so that all of his defense mechanisms that he is very well known for. they didn't come up. They did not come up. And I was, I don't know, I guess I was as grateful as I was astonished in a way. But I have finally, before I die and leave this planet, I will be able to say, finally, for the first time, we managed to communicate. We managed to communicate.
That's awesome.
Without a lot of defensive retaliation or you know, cold shoulders or all that stuff that comes. And I just feel it's such a liberating moment for me that I just needed to share it with the people that worked so hard for so many years with such hope, and knowing the truth of what they speak and what they wish to create for this world. And it just sends chills down my spine when I realize, and I came here to be able to be privileged enough to be able to hear and to learn and to now bring this into other people's lives. It's such a tremendously powerful thought, profoundly, my thanks.
And sweet.
I don't know. And sweet.
And sweet. I got the energy of it. I mean, I'm feeling the energy of it. It's awesome.
Oh,
it's
good.
Just awesome.
Because sometimes those words, thank you, are so profoundly inadequate for the magnitude of what of lives as they transform, and to something so beautiful like a butterfly emerging. And so I know I can feel you feeling me, and that's again, you know, proof of the love that comes with the truth.
You know, there's a wonderful thought in the Course in Miracles that says, two thoughts: when you are healed, you are never healed alone, and millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you do. And I want to acknowledge you for the space you were able to be that created the safety for your husband to be able to embrace what came up for him and let go of those defenses. You know, that to me, what that says is that you've let go of all attack in regard to that issue. And that's, you know, that's the space we can hold for each other. That's the space we can be for each other, instead of that coming from that accusatory place of pain and judgment, to be that space. So that's just a phenomenal piece of work, and millions yet unborn will benefit from the energy of that. So thank you for your work and diligence and moving forward. It's just like personally, that arouses all kinds of gratitude for me. It's like, yes, together we are changing this game. So, nice work. And in particular, thank you for sharing it with us.
Okay. Taking all of that in as well, and I'm grateful. Indeed.
Well, we join in holding the space and basking in the light of it.
Yeah. These are the moments that should linger, or that we can linger a while in, and appreciate how important it is to linger in that energy of being heard. And sorry, I'm not sure, a call is coming in to me, and I'm not sure if everybody's hearing it, but I don't know how to mute it. So I'll just say, I'm going to linger in your words and in what has happened for me, and enjoy it. Good day to all of you.
I could totally join you in that and just spend the rest of the show in silence, just being with that energy, but it probably wouldn't be a very interesting show for folks. So we'll carry on with the conversation, but I just really join you and support you in the energy, and appreciate deeply the fact that you've shared it with us. You know, it's like, it's the kind of thing that makes it all worthwhile.
Yes, it does. And I don't know if Jeannie and Michelle are on this call as well, but I just would like this to be extended to them and to all of the people that have, Susan Darnell, have chosen to step forward to be the life changers for all of us. So with my hands that are clasped in prayer form, I say thank you so much.
Go ahead, Jeannie.
I just said thank you, Lorraine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything for you to share, Tim?
Just gratitude.
Yay. Is Michelle, are you there? Anything for you to share, Michelle?
I don't see her number on the switchboard.
All right. Well, we'll carry the conversation forward and linger in the energy. Anything else for you to share, Lorraine, or anything else we can support you with? It truly is, you know, that the definition of the Aramaic, the words that the Greeks translate as the kingdom of heaven, it truly is the direct experience of the kingdom of heaven, which is the community of love in English and proper translation of those words. So it really is a nice space to taste that in.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you for articulating that, because as I just linger and in this feeling of gratitude and love and appreciation, I can see why the great teachers have come. And I include you in that group that have come all the way here to this so very challenging, just to be able to help mitigate self-suffering that we all come to know here, and to do what I did today in being able to lift that and to be able to just, I had like throw it over my shoulders and to walk forward, stepping into the light and feeling so liberated, and saying, oh yes, this was worth it. This was all worth it for me too.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good day.
Well, it's always great students that make the teacher look great. The teacher's just another catalyst. But each one who does their work is really where the blessing is, where the miracle happens. So, all right. Mm. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Have a blessed day.
I did have we don't have another caller, but I did have a comment in the chat room. And they said that they actually felt impacted about the thought, that you said yesterday about Marianne Williamson, that, quote, she could be murdered, unquote. And I asked them, what was that impact? Was it fear or, you know, what? And they haven't answered yet, but you want to comment on that?
Well, just the acknowledgement that there are energetic dynamics in the world that we need to be able to embrace and be aware of. You know, I don't remember his name back a few years ago, but there was a businessman who ran for president, and he, I think, probably would have changed the world so dramatically. But as he put his program forward, he withdrew from the game because they said, we won't let you live through it. And that's just something that, you know, to me needs to be acknowledged so that those who are capable of holding the light can hold the light to transmute that energy and to hold the safety of that space for someone with the courage to step forward and do that. That's a lot of courage. There's a lot of dark energy to be handled in the world. And for someone to step over into the limelight, as Marianne is suggesting she might do, and I certainly hold the space for her to do it, it would be awesome. There was another woman back a few years ago who ran for vice president who, she was coming forward with so much light,
Michael,
and so much love.
Michael, you're breaking up, unless it's my phone.
I don't know.
You were totally clear until then.
Shifting energies. So I just hold the space for Marianne or everyone else who comes forward in light to, you know, who chooses to play John the Baptist and holds the space, and that each one who chooses to play that role learns the two skills that John had not learned, when to duck and when to hold the mirror up. You know, you look at that story of John the Baptist, and basically what John did was brought truth, and truth, when presented to those who are in blockage of truth, arouses stress in those in blockage of truth. It's just the way it works. And so when that stress goes up, that stress attaches to one of two things. It either attaches to getting rid of the source of the information that brings truth, or it attaches to self-correction. And as each of us chooses when our stress goes up to attach to self-correction, we advance the principle and the purpose of truth in the world. And each step that that takes us one step closer to that critical mass. So I'm here to hold the space for that and to acknowledge what the possibilities are, the things that we need to be learning to hold the space for. So has the person in the chat room come back with an answer to the question?
Yes, she said that she was just surprised by the comment.
Mm-hmm. Anything else to share with that?
She hasn't said anything yet, but a hand went up.
Oh, cool. Let's say hello. Let's see how the conversation continues.
Area code 610, you're on the air.
Take a guess. Susan,
hey there, young lady. We haven't heard your voice for so long. We're delighted to hear from you.
I know it. Oh, that's nice of you to say. But, you know, I didn't hear that part of the show yesterday about Marianne Williamson. And it would be the most wonderful thing if she had a chance. And this may sound awfully cynical, but we need somebody who can beat the person and the administration that's in there now. And I'm not sure enough people would be behind her. And maybe there's a million worksheets in that, but that's my thought. I'd love to have her run.
Mm-hmm. And maybe nobody needs to be beaten, but certainly the space of healing needs to open. You know, when I watch the pronouncements that come out of so many of the politicians in Washington today, the pain that they must be in to be doing what they're doing and to miss what they're missing in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be monumental. Mm-hmm. And so holding those in love while taking action to produce a constructive result is sometimes a challenge. Because, of course, you know, I think the gift, I've said this before in the show, that Mr. T has given us is that he has shown America and the world its darkest underbelly.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're willing to take that as feedback and recognize that, you know, what we're feeling is the impact of our own individual underbellies and our collective underbelly, and use that as the opportunity to step into forgiveness, then it's going to be a monumental gift. If we refuse that and keep the blame game going, and there's a difference between blame and responsibility, then we'll tend to get stuck and lost in that other game. I got a nice quote this morning from, let me just get to it here. I'm looking through my, Yolanda sent me a quote this morning, or yesterday, pardon me, that said, it's from a man named Thomas Monson. And what he said was, blame keeps wounds open. Only forgiveness heals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to push my thought a little further at my own risk, probably, but the thought is, picture,
you're in a safe space here.
Picture the roster. You have Marianne Williamson. I don't know how well known she is across the board. Certainly in the miracles community, self-help, personal growth, meditation. I mean, she's got a voice that's heard a lot.
Right.
But I'm picturing the ballots, the roster of runners, and I'm picturing someone who has been perhaps this is just a mock-up, a politician who's played in the arena, played the game, knows how to do it, maybe has done some things a little shady in order to play the game, paid off people in order to get some campaign money or backing or advertising or something. Somebody whose name is really well known, but who, when that person steps in, will right the boat to a certain extent that can get us sailing in the right direction again. Somebody maybe not ideal. I think Marianne Williamson would be ideal. She would teach healing right from the get-go. But this is my fear, that she would split the boat away from a person who could win and allow a darker force to take over again.
Well, and I can see that. I certainly hear that thought, but I think on the other hand, you know, she is well known, so there's a certain availability of her energy throughout the whole culture because of her people being aware of her from the Course in Miracles perspective and her books. She's done a lot of television appearances, a lot of radio. So I could see where if that voice with that, the seeds that have already been sown, if that voice were to enter into the public arena with the way that voice would be amplified, I could see that with the amount of support that might be out there, we might have an alternative happening, and that is that her voice, you know, assists in cracking through to the critical mass. And that many
that
people who've never heard of or thought of such a thing as A Course in Miracles or Way of Mastery all of a sudden goes, what? There's another alternative? So I could see that as a possibility too.
That would be so great. I just read an article this morning, and I wish I had it in front of me. It was an article insisting that we still don't understand the Trump-based folks who had legitimate complaints and who are getting some satisfaction in maybe less unemployment, more lower gas prices, slightly higher wage. This is an argument that was in the paper, and they said that these folks have been considered by the anti-Trump folk as being, you know, as acting not in their best interests, their own best interests, and what an insult that is to them, as if they don't know how to think. It's so complicated. I also read ages ago in the New York Times an article that I wish I'd saved about how Republicans and conservatives think as opposed to Democrats, and both have legitimate points, complaints, platforms, that if we would just dialogue with one another, some of this hideousness might be put to rest. And I do think that's probably true. We need to talk across aisles, have dialogues with people we've been afraid of having dialogues to. And I'm talking about neighbors of mine on both sides of me who are Trump supporters and who I like, with whom I have not had the guts to open it up. I've tried, you know, it's usually sort of very short answers like, well, I'm happier, my business is going better than it has, and I think he's doing a good job. I know, you know, I don't think he's all that attractive. I know he can be crass and crude, but on the other hand, my situation is better now than it was before. And I can't argue with that. I don't know where to begin. Where you're beginning is you're using love, you know, act from love, open up dialogue to see the person, do a lot of forgiving in worksheets. I'm talking all over the place. You can talk now. I've said my stuff, even though it's all mixed up.
Michael, we're not hearing you. Is it just me that's not hearing
you? That mute button, you know, I'm mute challenged. What can I say? But you bring up a valid point. How do we open dialogue? You know, I mean, the young woman who shared with us a few minutes ago, 44 years in her marriage, and this morning opened a whole new level in dialogue between herself and her husband. And, you know, it takes time to build the brain cells and to develop the skills. For me, when I have a conversation with someone who's, but I've got an extra, $5,000 in the bank, and my business is doing well and such. My way of opening that conversation, because I think that, the flow of money, while it's important, certainly isn't the key to it all. It's like, I have a concern for, let's say, for instance, our oceans are in trouble. We know that. And yes, the people in, let's say, the oil and gas business are much more money's flowing for them, but then you notice they're being allowed to dump fracking waste chemicals, which are horrific, into the ocean. So for a few pennies gained, what's the long-term effect of that? So for me, asking questions becomes part of the process, and or pointing out some of the facts. And sometimes the emotional aspect of it is more than any kind of intellect will ever touch. So it's just the process, for sure.
That's it. The hackles.
A lot of
so
high-level emotions on all sides.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. I've heard the argument, the Earth will be okay. We might wipe ourselves out, but the Earth will be okay. That's one side of it. Another side on that side is it's all fake news. It's really not anything we're doing. I do see progress. I read on Facebook how people are, countries other than ours are banning plastic. Oh, I love reading that. Or they're letting ducks do the sowing of seeds in gardens, or whatever that was. Such a cute clip, but I didn't really pay attention to it. Using natural things to get us the good food that we need. People banning chemicals, and yet chemicals are still being poured. Costco, I talked to you about that. I talked to the manager of the Costco, wrote letters, got letters back saying, I understand about the plastic and that you don't want to buy apples here, but those apples are better protected with the plastic. And we're a competitive business, and we have to keep putting those apples into plastic, or we're up against some serious competition. It's really a hard battle.
Yeah, it's definitely many opportunities. And there's the opportunity to keep the conversation going. And that can always include a yes, but. Like, for instance, there are alternatives to plastic that are being created that are totally biodegradable. So maybe that's the opening to your conversation with Costco to say, to do a little research and find out exactly what, I don't know what the particular alternative would be, but I know in one arena, like for instance, I remember in a Whole Foods store, they were making what appeared to be their plastic silverware, their plasticware that people eat with, to-go stuff, that they're making out of potato starch, totally biodegradable. So maybe that's the opening to give Costco the feedback, gee, I hear you loud and clear, and here's something that when people take this home, and their apples are protected by it, and you're the greatest with the competition. You've also scored a point with everybody who's interested in the environment, because when they throw that wrapping away, it's going to biodegrade and put nutrients into the earth. So maybe that's a space where you can give them some feedback, and they haven't even perhaps conceived of that as a possibility. It's my blinders say I do the traditional business thing and do plastic, and it's an opportunity to educate. And a lot of this this work is all about education.
Well, I did do that. I just suggested, formed cardboard, because I've seen that. They come in cups that are made of cardboard, thin cardboard, just stiff enough to hold. Anyway, the guy, he wasn't listening, so I need another level of.
To see this zone. You never know when the seed's going to produce fruit.
Yeah.
You never know.
I know, and right. And the worksheet for me is my hackles go up and I want to punch him in the nose. So that's great, you know?
Ah, so a chance to heal your hostility.
Right.
Cool.
Absolutely. So, thank
well, I
you.
Join you in healing that hostility and having the courage to touch into the pain that the drug of hostility is anesthetizing and to embrace
mm-hmm.
that.
Yep, there is a lot there.
I know
that.
when I think about, you know, I have a granddaughter that's just getting ready to turn 8, and I have
mm-hmm.
a granddaughter that's just been breathing air directly for 15 weeks. And when I think
yeah.
about the future, there are a lot of things that concern me. And
oh,
so
yeah.
I do my best to keep understanding and educating myself and to passing that education on to others and informing others that, you know, there are all alternatives. And there are circumstances and situations that if we keep our heads buried in the sand, we'll never address them properly. We need to lift our heads up and go, oh, this is a very real possibility. So now I'm going to awaken to that and do my work around it.
Mm-hmm. What are
Kim,
you
had a thought there? I think
Kim
I heard a laugh in the background.
Me too.
Say again?
Yeah. I heard Tim too, yeah. Echoing away in the background.
I'm fighting with my mute button. Hold on a minute.
Oh, I know how that goes.
I was going to ask Michael how you're defining with head in the sand.
Well, I think head in the sand simply means someone who doesn't want to look at what the actuality is in the world. And, you know, it's been called in some circles a spiritual bypass. Oh, I just want to pretend everything's okay when it's not okay. And if we let go of the spiritual bypass, we can acknowledge, oh, there is a problem here we need to address, we need to deal with, and bring it forward and stand as a space of love for it. Do our work and hopefully inspire others to do the same.
Mm.
So the young lady who just shared with us this powerful story with her husband, 44
yeah.
years, and I don't know, maybe they've been out of fear, putting their heads in the sand around that issue, and finally the space opened, the courage to address something that was real and held pain for them, not necessarily actualities, but realities, and the willingness to address that and bring it forward in the presence of love. Well, powerful. I mean, I think everybody, that result was tangible. And that's the kind of result we need around anything that people are in denial about. So is that an adequate definition, Tim, or one that fits for you?
He's got his mute button on again.
You with us, Tim?
All right. It's working in reverse. I kept clicking it, and it kept muting me. My answer to your question, Michael, is that your answer was far more general and generalized than what I was looking for. I was asking if you were specifically referencing someone in some situation who has their head in the sand, and that if that's producing any kind of a reaction in you, I would call you to the observation that I'm never going to be upset about anything that anybody else ever says or does or doesn't do that I think they should, unless I'm judging myself negatively for doing the same or similar thing. So if there might be a space in your practice where you're in denial about something or your head is in the sand about it, that might be why you're bringing that up again.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not. It might just be completely neutral. But there's the possibility that denial has kicked up a little bit here and there in the past day or two, and you might want to look at it.
Yeah. I consider myself well-reminded and looking.
Thank you.
So, Susan, any other thoughts on the conversations?
Well, tell me, did Marianne Williamson really say she was thinking of running? I didn't hear the conversation and haven't heard anything about this.
I don't know. Shelley brought it up the other day. I don't know whether that's something that's, you know, is out there as an actuality or not. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'll ask Google.
Good old sage Google, yeah.
So I just put in the question. Marianne Williamson looking into 2020. So the Guardian newspaper says that she's looking into that presidential run, as she's announced that. First celebrity campaign for the White House against Donald Trump. She was in Iowa earlier this week meeting with Democratic activists to explore the possibility of a presidential campaign.
Wow.
Tom Henderson, a prominent Democratic activist in the state, told The Guardian that Williamson said she was, quote, just looking into it and not a candidate yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, it looks like a possibility. That's all the space. I think it'd be awesome.
Wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely, you know, definitely she'd be sowing some powerful seeds in the world and through a microphone that is often used for different purposes.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Cool. Well, we're down to a minute or so. So any final thought for you, young lady?
No, thanks. Not right now. Thank you.
Okay. How about for you, Tim? Any final thoughts?
While Tim's unmuting, I'll just say somebody in the chat room said that Marianne Williamson did mention it on her live stream.
Wow. Hey.
Cool. All right. Well, everybody, we appreciate your questions and conversation. And we hold the space for everybody to create the best year yet of your eternal lives. It's an awesome gift to give the world. And blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.